Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app, this is Highland Radio News.
This is the main evening news at 5 o'clock. I'm Daniel Brennan. In this bulletin, the Housing Minister has defended his revised effective block redress scheme in the Dáil.
The scheme, Attic Leap Forward.
Visiting restrictions are in place at Letterkenny University Hospital as it continues to battle a COVID outbreak. Donegal Deputy Pierce Doherty has called for further support for families sending children to school.
€1,500 per child if it's going to secondary school.
A mental health expert says a lack of private services in Donegal is impacting care, and it's been confirmed roadworks at the four lanes in Letterkenny will be further delayed.
They're trying to keep us on the budget.
We'll have those stories in full and a lot more coming up over the next half hour. Kenny Harkin will also be here with all the latest in sport, and Chris Ashmore will have this week's farming news and views. To this evening's main stories, however, and the Minister for Housing has defended the government's response to the mica crisis. Minister Dara O'Brien addressed the Dáil earlier today as the government's revised effective blocks bill entered the second stage. In a joint statement, homeowners in Donegal, as well as in other affected counties, said that the bill breaks all parliamentary process and that the government were trying to rush the scheme through, and that they would not support it unless 80 of their amendments were added. However, Minister O'Brien says the new bill will give affected families a chance to move forward.
We have listened and we have heard it loud and clear. The scheme that today's legislation will underpin is a dramatic leap forward towards a 100% grant scheme. I believe that it goes a long way to address the fundamental concerns and indeed the needs of homeowners. I do recognise the homeowners' concerns and fears around the proposed enhanced scheme. They feel their trust has been let down before, and I want to assure them here today that we are committed to making this scheme work and will continually strive to ensure it is improved where that is needed. I said it back in August 2020 on my visit to Donegal in Buncrana that every scheme evolves, and I have no doubt that this one will continue to do so. The intense engagement with homeowner representatives over the past year has fundamentally reshaped this scheme for the better. It is a scheme of state support that is unprecedented anywhere in the world. It is the state stepping up, and rightly so, to help those who have found no other way forward. It is a light at the end of a long tunnel for families trapped in crumbling homes. Let's give this scheme a fair chance. Let's put in place a solid framework that we can build on and get people's lives back on track.
In response, Sinn Féin's housing spokesperson Eoin O'Brien says the rushed nature of the bill is a scandal.
Many of us have been talking to those homeowners since the publication of the legislation over a week ago, and the emotions they are expressing to us are anger, are frustration, and a sense of being very, very badly let down. They, and I have to say we, are deeply unhappy with the rushed nature of the legislation. It has been greatly delayed, and when I raised this point with you, Minister, last week on the floor of this House, you said it hadn't been delayed. Well, in February, on the 10th, in the Select Committee, I asked you for an update on the legislation, and I have the minutes here, and you said directly, I hope to publish the general scheme in March. You went on to say that if we need amendments at committee stage, we can do that too. When I raised the March deadline with some of your officials, they were surprised because they were working to a deadline of the end of April. April then turned to May. May turn to the start of June, and here we are with a very, very important piece of legislation that every member of this House wants to get right in the best interests of the homeowners, and we are being given an inadequate amount of time to ensure it is correct. The accelerated scrutiny at committee was not ideal, but that was a gesture of good faith on behalf of many of us to show that we did not want to delay the process. But the idea that a bill of this size and complexity would get just 2 hours committee consideration next week is a scandal. The price tag, up to or maybe even exceeding €3 billion, 2 hours last count, Corla, in my view, in fact, is negligent, if not reckless.
That was Sinn Féin's Eoin O'Brien responding to the Housing Minister about the new revised mica redress scheme. Celtis say some visiting restrictions are in place at Letterkenny University Hospital as the COVID outbreak there continues. In a statement today, they said the hospital continues to be severely impacted by the virus and that 40 patients on wards currently are COVID positive. With more, here's Donna Marie Doherty.
Some visiting restrictions have been reimposed at Letterkenny University Hospital, with visiting to wards with an active COVID outbreak being limited to compassionate grounds only, pre-agreed with hospital staff. Meanwhile, on all other wards, visiting is restricted to appointment only with one visitor per patient per day. In periods of half an hour, that must be arranged with the relevant ward or unit. Celta are asking anyone who has COVID symptoms to avoid visiting their loved ones to try and curb the outbreak. Letterkenny University Hospital manager Sean Murphy says that despite the outbreak, hospital appointments are going ahead this week. Anyone with an outpatient or other appointment at the hospital is being asked to attend unless you are contacted by a member of staff from the hospital or told otherwise. However, anyone who has an appointment and has COVID symptoms are being asked to call and rearrange for a later date.
The Kyre Lock of the Letterkenny Municipal District, Donal Mandy Kelly, says the two-month delay to major roadworks in the town is worrying, but it's also out of the council's control. The completion of roadworks at the Four Lanes Road between the Polestar and Dry Arch roundabouts has been delayed by 8 to 10 weeks until November. The roadworks were expected to be completed at the end of August, but difficulties in getting materials has led to the delay. Councillor Kelly says the main cost of the delays now is the rising cost of materials.
I did have a brief conversation with the contractor there, Michelle Fashion, who was made aware of this. They are running within maybe 8 to 10 weeks behind, which is not ideal. But, you know, I suppose to be positive on it, Greg, and not try to be too negative on it, you know, at the start of this project, there was the issue with COVID, you know, that did hold things up. And since that, you know, with the cost of rising materials and I suppose as well, you know, we have to be realistic that maybe the wire is playing part in this as well, that getting materials in from across the waters and stuff like that, you know, and the price of materials, you know, it has been a delay in this project. Safety is number one, and, you know, I have made them aware that safety has to be number one and to keep that on board at all times. The outbound lane at the minute, Greg, is I suppose it's maybe 90 or 95% complete. So with the inbound now that they're focusing on, and there was, I suppose, a cost put in for this project at the start, and, you know, materials are rising all the time that we're fully aware of. And I suppose they're trying to keep within the budget as well. From the pricing, I suppose, from the very start, materials, it's gone up and up and up, and I suppose they're trying to work closely, Greg, to try to have all the materials without having to go into, you know, well over budget.
The CEO of the Mental Health Commission says that patients in areas such as Donegal are being deprived of the best mental health care. This follows the Commission's annual report that was published today that showed patients are often given a better standard of care in private facilities compared to public ones. Speaking on today's 9 till noon show, John Farrelly from the Commission says the lack of accessible private mental health facilities here compared to the capital will lead to worse care for those who can't afford it.
We've 2,600 beds in Ireland. About 600 of, well, there's 700 or so private independent beds. Most of them are based in Dublin. In fact, you know, except for a small amount in Cork, it's all based around Dublin. So what that means is, and they're high achieving centres, you know, where you get what's prescribed in the regulations. So if you have someone in Donegal and they need, for example, if they have an eating disorder issue, there's a very good centre in Dublin, but you need your private health insurance or you need the money to pay for it. So a person in Donegal who doesn't have the money to pay for it isn't going to get the same service as someone in Dublin who does.
A child's education should be a cherished right. That's according to Donegal Deputy Piers Doherty, who told the Taoiseach in the Dáil today that for many parents, the price of education is a cause of concern and anxiety. He says that back-to-school costs are only adding to the pressure families are facing, mentioning one mother who said it will cost €1,700 to return her child to school this September. Deputy Doherty says that more government supports are needed across the board.
They're already dealing with, as you've acknowledged, petrol, diesel, home heating oil, energy, food, clothing, all skyrocketing. Now, as kids finish up their school year, the bills are starting to roll in. €1,500 per child if it's going to secondary school, €1,200 per child going to primary school, and there is no additional interventions from government. You talk about what you might do in the budget. These bills need to be met in the here and now. These school bills need to be dealt with. The kids are going back to school at the end of August, and they don't know where they're going to get the money to pay basic things like school books for their children or a school uniform to put on their kids' back. You need to bring forward an emergency budget. You need to reverse the decision that you've had, and you need to see that the cost of living crisis is happening right here, right now.
The cost of living crisis is happening right here, right now. It'll happen all the way through to the budget, and will continue after the budget. That's the truth of it. We're facing a global inflation crisis, and it won't end because of any budget, whether it's an emergency budget before the autumn or whether it's one in autumn. We've acted since the budget. Over the summer, other measures will take into effect, including pay increases for some people, including the public service, including the back-to-school footwear allowance, including the improvements in the SUSE grant for third level. Then we'll have another package again in autumn when the budget comes.
A man with Down syndrome who had to remain in hospital under delayed discharge due to a lack of funding for adequate care has moved to his new home. The man in his 50s had been offered a place in a nursing home under the Fair Deal scheme, but was unable to avail of the space as funding was not granted. However, the funding was finally approved on Monday, and the man moved out of hospital into new accommodation yesterday. Speaking on the 9 till noon show, Gina Grant, the PRO of Donegal Down Syndrome, said they're very happy with the outcome.
The gentleman ended up having to stay in hospital on the delayed discharge because of funding for a training centre that we couldn't seem to get approval for. He had to move into a supported accommodation. And because there was none available, we acquired a nursing home. But obviously, because of his young age, he needed to have stimulation activities outside of the nursing home. So he couldn't move until we got funding for a training centre and adult day service. And thankfully, this Monday, we got approval for that. And yesterday, the gentleman has moved to start his new chapter. And hopefully then, all the funding now is in place and he will start transitioning to the day centre as well.
Brilliant.
Next week.
Brilliant news, Gina.
Very, very happy with that. And hopefully now the next chapter will be a happy one for him.
The time is 12 minutes past 5 o'clock. We'll take a short break. Sport with Kenny's coming up after these.
Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Find everything you need to kick off your fitness journey at michaelmurphysports.ie.
The time is 5:15. Time to go over to Kenny Harkin for the latest in sport.
Thanks, Daniel. We'll start with golf, and it's day one of the Horizon Irish Open at Mount Juliet. Dennis Kerwin reports.
In form, New Zealander Ryan Fox continues to lead the way at Mount Juliet after a superb blemish-free opening round of 64. The son of former All Black out half legend Grant Fox holds a single shot lead over Frenchman Frederic Lacroix, who fired in a round of 65. There's a pair of Irishmen four shots off the lead. Seamus Power and Niall Kearney both completed solid opening rounds of 68. They lie on four under par, while US Seniors Open champion Padraig Harrington has a big following this afternoon, and he's three under par through 14 holes of his opening round. John Murphy had a round of 70, while Shane Lowry, who played in company with Seamus Power, has work to do after a one-under-par opening round of 71. He lies seven shots off Ryan Fox's lead. Paul Dunn and Kilkenny amateur Mark Power both had level par rounds of 72. Warren Point's Colm Campbell is one-over-par through nine, while David Higgins signed for a round of 78. At the Horizon Irish Open at Mount Juliet, I'm Dennis Kerwin.
Moving on to rugby, and Caelan Doris says Ireland can't afford to switch off for a second against the All Blacks on Saturday. The Leinster man has been named at number 8 for the first test at a sold-out Eden Park, and Doris knows the odds are firmly against Ireland come Saturday.
They're in their comfort zone, they're unbeaten in Eden Park, they've got that track record there. But it's massively exciting for us as well to come over to their backyard, the best nation in the world, and try and create a bit of history by winning there. I think it's, 28 years since they've been beaten, so it'd be a pretty special thing to do, and our guys are very excited to try and do that.
Moving on to tennis, and Rafa Nadal has taken the first set of his Wimbledon second round match from Ricardis Berenkes. Men's fourth seed Stefanos Tsitsipas, he cruised into the third round with a straight sets win over Jordan Thompson, while Robert Batista Agu has become the third men's seed forced to withdraw after testing positive for COVID-19. And women's number one seed, Iga Świątek, she leads Leslie Pattyman Kirkhoff by a set to love. Katie Bolter has caused one of the shocks of this year's women's singles. Coming from a set down, she beat last year's finalist Karolina Pliskova. Also progressing to round three today are fourth seed Paula Badosa and two-time former champion Petra Kvitova. In Gaelic Games, the GAA's Central Competitions Control Committee are meeting again today before deciding upon any punishments arising from the Galway Armagh All-Ireland Senior Football Quarter-Final. The CCCC met earlier in the week to go through referee David Goldrick's match report. They are seeking further clarification around the red cards shown to Galway captain Sean Kelly and his Armagh counterpart Aidan Nugent and other incidents. In soccer, Chelsea reportedly made a last-ditch attempt to hijack Richarlison's move to Tottenham. The Brazilian has agreed personal terms with the North London club, while Everton have agreed a €70 million deal with Spurs. Richarlison will complete a medical in Brazil before finally completing the move. In cycling, this year's Tour de France is already mired in controversy. With less than 24 hours until Le Grand Depart, the Bahrain Victorious team had their hotel and team buses raided by police at the request of French prosecutors this morning. It's the second time the team have been subject to various searches this week. This year's tour begins in Copenhagen tomorrow. In Formula One news, Lewis Hamilton says he's incredibly grateful for all the support he's been shown following Nelson Piquet's alleged racist slur against him. The 69-year-old Brazilian, a three-time Formula One world champion, has apologised wholeheartedly, saying he's been mistranslated. Hamilton's questioned why older voices are being given a platform when he believes the sport is looking to go somewhere different. Finally, for this evening on The Score, Keith Cowan will be joining us for our League of Ireland Premier Division chat. Looking forward to the action for Finn Harps and Derry City this weekend. One of the driving forces behind Tyrconnell AC, Eamon Harvey, he's on the programme to reflect on their success at the National Championships last weekend. And Richard Kerr talks bikes and a recent victory in England. And that and much more on The Score this evening after the 7 o'clock news. Back to Daniel.
Thanks, Kenny. Weather now cloudy for the rest of this evening with a chance of isolated showers. Showers will become more isolated overnight and cloud will gradually build. Lowest temperatures of 7 to 10 degrees. And this evening's main headlines. Once again, the Housing Minister has defended his revised effective block redress scheme in the Dáil today. Visiting restrictions are back in place at Letterkenny University Hospital as it continues to battle a COVID outbreak. Donegal Deputy Pierce Doherty has called for further support for families sending children to schools, and it's been confirmed the roadworks at the four lanes in Letterkenny will be further delayed. That's all from the news desk for now. I'll be back with headlines again at 6 o'clock, but now it's time for this week's Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore.
Highlands Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with Lifford Credit Union, who have recently launched Cultivate, an agricultural loan at only 6.55%, APR 6.75%. Call in to any of their three offices for more information or to make an appointment. Lifford Credit Union. Rafo Newton Lifford, supporting local farmers.
Hello, good evening and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Well, coming up, we'll hear about a new Dairy Beef 500 programme, which was launched by the Minister for Agriculture, Food and the Marine, Charlie McConnell-Logue. A number of dairy calf to beef demonstration farms have been selected throughout the country, and there's a particular Donegal interest. But first, Beef 2022, the National Beef Open Day, is back with us after a four-year absence. Well, Gary Fisher, Beef Business and Technology Advisor with Chagas, much to look forward to. So tell us, what can we expect? And no doubt there'll be big Donegal interest.
On the 5th of July, Grange is opening its doors again to for farmers all over the country. The event kicks off at 9am in the morning. And basically, look, there would be a lot of farmers in this county that have never been to Grange, and you know, you read about it in national press and what is it, but it's the main research centre in this country for beef production and beef production systems. And so, look, I would be sort of saying to farmers out there, look, it's not just for the farmer himself, you know, it's it can be a family day out. There's lots to see and do at the event. So initially when you arrive, there's sort of four main stands, and you know they're covering things like beef systems on your farm, what beef system would suit your farm best, and you know, then maybe targets for resilient beef production, and then how do you go about achieving these targets, and then obviously most farmers want to make is optimizing a good farm profit or making a living out of beef production. That's sort of the four main stands as you enter. That would generally take probably an hour to go through that, and then after that, Chris, farmers, basically our farm families, can choose to go and see then what they want. There's lots of technology villages then spread throughout Grange.
This year's theme is supporting sustainable beef farming. And
look, the tide has changed over the last since 4 years. You know, an environment is front and centre. So basically, there's after you go through the four main stands, there's basically what's known as technology villages, and you know these villages look at different things. So there's sort of eight or nine different villages, and depending on what farmers want to look at or what they want to get information on, so that's one thing I would say to farmers. Look, there's lots of information there, and if you want to get the most up-to-date, credible research, there's no hidden agendas here. You're going to be told the truth. In the technology villages, you have the environment, which looks at, you know, looking at carbon neutrality by 2050, how we're going to get there, improving water quality, and managing biodiversity on your farm. And look, there has been a new environmental scheme that's going to be launched later this year called ACRES, and you know, there will be a lot of dry stack farmers looking at that scheme going forward. Continuing then in the villages, the technology villages, there's grassland demonstrations. So, you know, trying to make best use of grass. Look, it's one of Ireland's biggest assets. And look, this year, with the high price in fertiliser, you know, farmers are looking at maybe how can we grow grass with less chemical fertiliser. And so there'll be information there in relation to clover, swards and multi-species. And there is farmers, even in Donegal, that are trying out multi-species swards, but you know Grange will have research on that, and then obviously trying to make better quality size, so reducing your concentrate input over the winter period. Then going on to the different types of systems on farms, you know, you've got suckling systems in Donegal, and then you've got farmers that are in dairy beef systems. So there'll be two villages, one concentrating on suckling systems, looking at maybe cow type and sire selection, calf health, and then obviously looking at the two demonstration herds of Enchagas, Derry Patrick and Newport, and looking at the performance of those. And then moving on to the dairy beef side of the house, which is an area that is starting to grow in Donegal. This is where farmers buy in dairy bred calves and bring them through to finish. So looking at calf quality and calf health, looking at rearing the calf and housing, because it's a different skill set taking these calves from a young age right through to slaughter. And then obviously looking at the Grange dairy beef herd itself. And then a stand that I'm involved in at Grange myself is a growing and finishing village, looking at grass-based and indoor finishing strategies for taking cattle through to finish, looking at reducing slaughter age, because again, that's going to improve our carbon footprint. And then obviously anthelmintic use and parasite control. You know, that's an area that there is resistance to certain drugs out there, and you know, what's best practice for farmers to use in using parasitic control on animals. An area that farmers maybe don't look at as much as probably is an area of meat quality. So there's a village on all around the whole area of meat, factors affecting the eating quality of the meat, and then obviously quality assured beef in terms of maybe boar deer. Another village then is covering the whole area of advisory, education and policy. Look, in Donegal especially, we've had a huge influx of young people doing the Green Cert, and look, pathways for a career in agriculture. And look, next year in under the new CAP proposal, the Young Farmer Scheme, as it's known now, like the Department of Agriculture is increasing the basically support there for young farmers going forward. An area also covered is succession and inheritance, and then the implication of CAP reform. And there is a lot of changes coming down the tracks in 2023. And then the last village then is all around farming lifestyle. Look, health and safety on farms, improving health and safety. Look, every year there's tragedies on farms and injuries, and you know the whole area around health and safety. So even demonstrations, what to do in a bad situation, and then obviously health and well-being. And suppose during COVID, you know, we're probably maybe seeing some of that now coming out, you know, mental health and, you know, for farm families, you know. And then also a big thing I see in farms too is trying to get a good work-life balance, you know, because I see young people today, you know, they want a life outside of farming. They don't want to work 24/7, 365 days a year. You have to have a work-life balance. So those are the villages. And then after the villages, you know, and it's up to you what you want to see out of the villages. There's a lot of live demonstrations and displays on the days as well, from, you know, low mutton slurry application to, you know, different methods of spreading fertilizer, from protected ureas, reseeding, farm infrastructures, shade design. You know, for someone that has never been to Grange, farmers that have never been just think it's research, but there's so much to see and do, and, you know, and it's a good family day out. I know it's a bit of a distance from Donegal, but I know there is farmers that I've spoken to that are going to make their way up there. Yeah.
And of course, this, some of it will be a glimpse into the future, and as the technology goes along, what appears to be in the future now, well, it may only be a couple of years down the road. And
You know, I suppose that's the big thing. And I suppose, look, like most industries there, look, climate change, and we have targets to meet. The agricultural industry has been given a target now. We don't know what the exact figure is yet, but we're to reduce our emissions by between 22% and 30%. And, you know, what technologies can farmers use to try and hit those targets? Because everyone has to do their bit. Farmers are a resilient bunch, and they're very well enabled to adopt change on their farms and do their bit for the environment.
And just while we have you on, Gary, time against us, but the Minister for Agriculture, Charlie McConnell-Logue, recently launched the Dairy Beef 500 campaign. There should be big interest in that, and there's certainly going to be a number of Donegal farmers involved on the demonstration side of things.
Yes, that's correct, Chris. That was launched earlier this week by the Minister, as you say, and I'm delighted to say that we have a young farmer here in the county that has joined that, and he's Derek and Gareth Peoples, or Gareth Peoples from Tully Allen and Carrigan. So as you sort of say, the Dairy Calf Beef 500 is basically what they're trying to do. The 500 is trying to leave yourself a net margin of €500 per hectare out of calf to beef system. And this is dairy calf to beef now. So basically it's progeny coming from the dairy herd and taken right through to slaughter. So yes, Gareth's taking up that mantle here in the county, a very good young farmer, and I'm delighted he's taking on the challenge.
And that was Gary Fisher, the business and technology advisor with Chagast, specialising in beef, and he's based here in Letterkenny. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Highlands Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with Lifford Credit Union, who have recently launched Cultivate, an agricultural loan at only 6.55%, APR 6.75%. Call in to any of their three offices for more information or to make an appointment. Lifford Credit Union. Rafo Newton Lifford, supporting local farmers.
The obituary notices for Thursday evening, June the 30th. The death has taken place of Brendan McIntyre, 1 Riverside Terrace, Strabane, and formerly of Lifford. His remains will be reposing at his home from 7 p.m. this evening. Funeral leaving his home on Saturday morning at 25 past 9 for Requiem Mass in the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Strabane, at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in Strabane Cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Kidney Research UK, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. The death has taken place of Joe McDevitt, Drum the Cart, and Agree. His remains are reposing at McGlynn's funeral home this evening with rosary at 7 p.m. Removal from there at 9 o'clock, going to his late residence at Drum the Cart in Annagree. The house is strictly private to family only. Funeral Mass tomorrow at 12 noon in the Star of the Sea Church, Annagree, with burial afterwards in the new cemetery. Family flowers only, donations if desired to the daycare centre, The Angle, Dunloe. The death has taken place of Leo O'Frill, drum boy, Lifford, and formerly of Fanad. Remains reposing at his home today from 6 p.m. Funeral leaving his home on Saturday morning at 25 past 10 for Requiem Mass in St. Patrick's Church, Murlough, at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 9 p.m. to 11 a.m. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam at clonleyparish.com. And the death has taken place of Cathal Gallagher, Rye, Manor Cunningham. His remains are reposing at his home. Requiem Mass on Saturday morning at 11 a.m. in St. Columba's Church, Drumahull. Burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, donations if desired to the Oncology Ward, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of Patrick Sweeney, funeral directors. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to HighlandRadio.com.